The pasuk says in Perek Beis, pasuk Tes, in Parshas Bereishis, it says Vayatzmach Hashem Elokim in Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made grow from the ground. Vayatzmach means as a semach, as in growing, as in a plant. Kol Eitz Nechma Damara. All these trees that were beautiful of appearance, that tov l'achol and good to eat. The Eitz HaChayim B'soch HaGan. There was the tree of life in the middle of the garden. The Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. And there was also the tree of knowledge between good and evil. So here's the deal. The question is, what exactly is this tree of life in the middle of the garden? We know that he was told not to eat, that Adam and Chava were told not to eat from the Eitz HaDas Tovara. But what was the Eitz HaChaim? And then it became so important because later on, after they did eat, in Paragimel, Pasuk HaBeis, when Hashem tells the Malachim, maybe Adam or Rishon will eat from the Eitz HaChaim and he'll live forever. Well, I don't understand. If he was supposed to live forever in the first place, before he ate from the Eitz HaDas, what was the point of the Eitz HaChaim? Why is there such a thing there? And also, why is it that the Eitz HaChaim seems to be in the middle of the garden? Well, we know that the Eitz HaDas was supposed to be in the middle of the garden. In fact, when Chava told the snake, right, the snake said, are you allowed to eat from all the trees of the garden? She said, no, we're not allowed to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Well, that sounds like the Eitz HaChaim was the tree they weren't allowed to eat, but we know that's not true. What exactly is happening over here? And that we're worried about the Eitz HaChaim, and that it's so important that right now, as we speak, there are Kruvim, these angels that are destructive angels with swords, these flaming swords that go around in their hands, that are standing outside of the gate of Gan Eden in order to protect people from going and eating from the Eitz HaChaim. That's how important it is that there are Malachim that are specifically there to kill anyone who comes near it. What does that mean? What in the world does this mean? What is this Eitz HaChaim exactly? The Ramban says, this tree at a school that anyone to wait from it would live for a very long time. It does not mean forever, but it lived for a much longer time. And considering how long that all the 10 generations lived before anything happened, that's an unbelievable wonder. If Metushelach without the Eitz HaChaim lived to 969, I can't imagine what he would have lived with eating the Eitz HaChaim itself. That the Eitz HaDas was, as we know, was a tree that caused people to be able to make decisions, to have ratzon and chepet, in which if you ate it, you have to actually choose between good and bad. Although there was Bechira beforehand, because Adam Rishon obviously chose to eat from the Eitz HaDas. He chose that this would be a good thing for him, so he ate from the Eitz HaDas. This is different. This is the ability to want something. The ability to really go into and have a taiva for something. That's what the Eitz HaDas did. The Chizkuni says it a little bit stronger. The refuah for the Eitz HaDas was the Eitz HaChaim. It was created to heal anyone who is dying from the Eitz HaDas. If you ate from the Eitz HaDas and you were going down because of it, the Eitz HaChaim was there in order to get something better. The Chidas says this as well, saying it wasn't a preventive type of medicine. You can't have the Eitz HaChaim first and then eat from the Eitz HaDas. That you couldn't do. It only worked after you ate from the wrong tree. It says Ba'ata by when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. Only now is it an issue to eat from the Eitz HaChaim after he ate from the Eitz HaDas. This is the Eitz HaChaim. The Eitz HaChaim is a refuah. It is the medicine to the death that the Eitz HaDas Tov Ra did. When the Eitz HaDas Tov Ra killed you, when the Eitz HaDas Tov Ra took you down a little bit, the Eitz HaChaim would allow you to have a refuah. Not a preventive, it's not like one of those medicines that you take before Yom Kippur in order to not have any pain all Yom Kippur long. It is something that works like Advil. Once you have the headache, the Advil helps it come away. That's the idea of what the Eitz HaChaim was. Chasam Sofer gives, in Torah's Moshe, gives us a bit of an introduction as to how this all works. Certainly, both of these trees were meant to eventually be eaten from. God is not going to create something for nothing. So the Eitz HaDas Tov Vara was supposed to eventually be eaten from. Even though Hashem said to other nations, do not eat from this tree, He meant don't eat from this tree now. Don't eat from this tree now. But eventually, the plan was that the Eitz HaDas would be eaten and the Eitz HaChaim was going to be eaten. And it's clear that the point of the Eitz HaDas was to give man Bechira and Chepetz and Ratzon, while the Eitz HaChaim was to give him proper life afterward, after he'd eat from the Eitz HaDas. The question was, how is that going to happen? So it seems, says the Chasam Sofer, that Chazal had a plan in mind. The Chazal say that Hashem had a plan in mind. And here's the idea. Adam Rishon could not eat from the Eitz HaDas before before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you could not eat from that tree of knowledge. And if you do that correctly, then everything would have turned out fine. Now why? Because here's the deal. Before Shabbos started, the world is in a... Give me one second, Ben. The world is in a matziv of creation. It's in creation mode. Which means, if you keep it as is, in Adam stays, all creation mode, with the level of bechira, but no taiva, no chepetz, it's not ingrained within him. Then once Shabbos hits, it's done. That is creation. Man is created without taiva. Man is created without chepetz, without ratzon. He is created as is. Once Shabbos comes and creation is over, now you can eat from the Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas will be an infusion, so to speak, of chepetz and ratzon. The Eitz Hadas is going to be, you need a little bit of chepetz, you need a little bit of taiva. Here, have a little bit in order to get yourself going to do something that you need to do. And the Eitz HaChaim was there to heal you if it went a little bit too far. The plan was that the Eitz Hadas was always meant to be eaten, but it was only meant to be eaten after Shabbos had started. After man had already been set this way. The unfortunate part is that he ate it too early. Once he ate it in the matziv of creation, he was then in the creation, within himself, he was imbued with a sense of chepetz and ratzon. I want, I need. These types of things were now in his system. And now, the Eitz HaChaim would heal you. It would heal you from that. But that means that you're not going to have the proper kapara, the proper atonement that you need for when you do something wrong, which unfortunately, as we know, is death itself. That's the concept. Make the world be set already. Ingrain man with the nature to only do good, to only have good, and bring in ratzon and chepetz and taiva when you need it, and then have the Eitz HaChaim to stop yourself from doing so. What's going on there?
According to this Chassam Sofer, how does the Nachash's whole thing with Chava make sense, saying that Hashem doesn't want you eating it because then you're going to be like him?
Yeah.
So, but they were going to eat it. So that whole thing now.
First of all, the Nachash is a liar. The Nachash is a shyster. He's going to do anything he can to sell you that used car.
I thought the whole point was he wasn't lying.
He wasn't in a way, but there was 100% a lie behind what he was saying, and it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants you to eat from it, or he's scared of you. That was a lie in any which way. See, that's one idea. Forget about everything else. The Nachash is a liar. You don't trust anything he says. And that's one of the lessons that we learn from Bereishis. Never trust the Yetzer Hara no matter what he says to you. That's number one. But number two, I agree, but nonetheless, that's the lesson. The sense is, and the idea is that you're trying to say, agreed, you might eat it eventually. But the Nachash is saying, if you do it now, you'll be a different human being. And he was right. They are going to be different human beings. What's up, Rob?
What I never understood is, so if you would have eaten from Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
There would have been no Yetzer Hara in the world.
There would have been. There would have been the Nachash everywhere. But we would have easily have stopped ourselves. We would have stopped ourselves from listening.
I thought the whole point of it is if he would have made it through Shabbos, he would have reached his tikkun, and that would have been tikkun.
Okay. What you're speaking is the Derech Hashem in Chelek Rishon, which does say the way you're saying, that Adam's only challenge was to do this, and then he would go into Eden, and everything's all over. You're right. That is what the Derech Hashem says in the Ramchal. There are other Pirushim that don't say that. That he had a job even afterward. Whatever that job is, we don't know. We weren't Zocha to get it. But there was a job, and this idea of the Chassam Sofer, I think is going in that other idea over there. The Tzaris Gehonis and Rav Yonasan Adjus.
You can't say that we wouldn't have because this Adam really fixed up.
No.
Adam,
he started the tikkun, but did not fix the chet of Adam Rishon. The chet of Adam Rishon, if anything,
it started from level one.
So yes.
Now
it started there, but it was not a fix. There was no way. The only fix that we got was at Har Sinai. Where at Har Sinai we were created into different beings, where the Yetzer Hara was on the outside again. Again, the Yetzer Hara was not a Yetzer Hara within them. It was a satan outside of them, showing a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, "Don't you see he's dead?" That was not in their heads, that was not within them, that was outside of them. It was the same type of idea. Unfortunately, we didn't last well when it came to that as well. The Tiferes Yonason says the same thing. Why do you need that little bit of taiva once Shabbos hits? What's the point of that? And the answer is because the only reason why a person is together with his wife is because of taiva. Meaning, there's a mitzvah pruravu, and when Adam Rishon was told by Hashem to be pruravu, to have children with Chava, he was together because of the tzivoy. But there was no taiva in Gan Eden. There was no desire for him to be together. When would that happen otherwise? When would there be children after that time if there was no taiva? The point of this idea would be to give yourself enough of a taiva after Gan Eden's over, if that was not eaten before the 6 days were up, to go into a situation where Shabbos is over, you're supposed to have Puravu, here you go. This is where taiva comes into play. You now get involved with taivas mishkal, taivas ochel, taivas whatever it is, and the idea is for the Eitz HaDaas to be that temporary taiva. You'd have the taiva for a little bit, and the Eitz HaChaim would bring you back to normal. That whenever you needed to be Puravu, whenever you needed to eat or drink, you had a little bit of the Eitz HaDaas for that shot, and then the Eitz HaChaim was there to heal yourself every single time. Yeah.
The fact that the chiyuv without the taiva isn't enough. Is that what you're saying?
But you wouldn't do it. Without taiva, you wouldn't do it. Even though there's a chiyuv, because you sit there and you're like, when is my chiyuv? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam and Chava to be together in Gan Eden.
You have a chiyuv of Onah also.
There's no such thing as man and woman. The whole idea wouldn't exist, so to speak. That's the whole kasha. Rebbe Yashiv says a little bit different, and it changes it a little bit, the aspect that we're looking at. Shabbos is the time when we stay away from the garbage of the world and we concentrate on our spiritual lives. I know that doesn't always happen, and usually your best meals are on Shabbos. I realize that it's supposed to be that your best meals are so spiritual you bring it up in Ruchnius. We know the reality, and usually when a person says l'shem Shabbos Kodesh, it's usually exactly for his stomach, and you really should be saying for my stomach. I understand that, but regardless, that's what Shabbos is supposed to be. At this time, in theory, Rebbe Yashiv says, you should be able to eat a little bit extra, drink a little bit extra, do a little bit more, enjoy the gashmi in the world, because the day is so spiritual. On the other hand, right, indulging in your pleasures is obviously gluttonous. That's going to be bad. We think we can eat and we can do what we want and we won't be affected by surroundings, but the truth is, it's impossible. We're going to be surrounded, we're going to be involved with this so much. That was Adam Rishon's problem. He wanted to get too involved in this world at a time when it was dangerous to do so. So here's the shot. Eating before Shabbos, during the week, and indulging yourself in a pleasure which you know is not right, in that sense, that's wrong. Doing it on Shabbos, that changes everything. If you're going to indulge yourself in a pleasure, if you're going to eat something which is only a taiva's food, a food that is a taiva, and we know it's a taiva, you should only eat it on Shabbos. The unfortunate part for myself, and I'm sure for others as well, is that Reese's peanut butter cups are milchik, and you'd have to have a milchik meal on Shabbos in order for that to work. I don't know how that's going to be. Maybe you'd have to extend Shabbos a little bit into Shalosh Shudas in order to eat Reese's peanut butter cups specifically to have that. It's actually not a bad call. All right, we'll think about that.
Or you can only have it during the winter.
Yeah, Kiddush. I guess you can have it during Kiddush unless it's chilling. What?
During the winter.
I guess that will work. Yeah, what's up, Brian?
He didn't do Mamash in the middle of the week. He did an Erev Shabbos, so doesn't that give him like a little bit,
And Erev Shabbos. Oh, it's your thing. He did it, L'shem Shabbos Kodesh. Nah, but we know. We know. It was like eating from the kugel right before Shabbos starts and then not eating the kugel on Shabbos. Purposely eating it only at that point and not any other time. That's the idea behind it. By the way, regardless, that's what stops over. The Netziv says there are two different types of people out there. There are two different types of people that are there. Someone who serves Hashem out of love and someone who serves Hashem out of fear. Right? That's the idea behind it. So, Rabbi. I don't know. Our brother is a little bit of a fool and turned and hung up the phone. Anyway, then it says that the first person that serves, I got it, don't worry. The first person that serves Hashem out of love, that person is greater. Such a person should be able to live forever out of his connection to Hashem. Well, the second person doesn't find much pleasure in anything he's doing. Here's the idea. The Eitz HaChaim was created for who? Was created for a guy who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love? He doesn't, does what Hashem wants him to do out of love. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need the Eitz HaChaim. He's going to live anyway. Is it for someone who does it out of fear? Well, that guy, he's never going to get there even if he does eat from the Eitz HaChaim. So he says the following. He said, eating from the Eitz HaChaim allows the person serving Hashem out of love to live longer. I don't know how this works exactly, but the way that Netziv is saying it, it's that this type of medicine, the Eitz HaChaim, and the way how good it is, it makes your body last a longer time. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I read an article not so long ago that there is a limitation to how long your body will live. With everything else, a person, a human being, even with all of our advancements in studies and science and everything, we have not been able to live past 110 years old. And really, even though people are living longer and the centenarians that exist in this world are many more than there were, I read a stat, I don't know if this is true, that there are 45,000 people over the age of 100 that are still alive today in Japan. 45,000 people. Are we to consider that number over there? 45,000 people that you're paying that are in this level where they're over 100 years old. Just in Japan. Not anywhere else. Just in Japan itself. So the pshat is that the Eitz HaChaim makes the body last to a longer level. It allows you physically to last for a longer time. Maybe that's the pshat for the Eitz HaChaim. The Eitz HaChaim is not for now. It's for the times of Mashiach, where right now our physical bodies can't handle it. In the times of Mashiach, we will eat from the Eitz HaChaim so that our bodies get to last longer. And if you have any questions about this, everybody knows those drumettes right over there. I think we all should admit to it. I think we all understand this. Is 100% getting our bodies to die a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
It might be a second, and I know it's like Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, so it makes it a little bit different, but we all know, right, that these are the things that are causing, if you have something that definitely can shorten a person's life, there may be a medicine out there that is able to lengthen a person's life, physically, allow your bones to be there, maybe there's something a little bit more, that's the concept of the Nitziv. Nitziv is bringing up over here, yeah.
But if the basic medicine is not here anyway, what's the point of living?
I don't know how to answer that. The Malbim says it seems that eating from the Eitz HaChaim would actually be a bad thing. And the Malbim seems to say that eating from the Eitz HaChaim is something that we can't deal with. The nefesh cannot separate from the body while a person is alive, which means it has to be separated from the source, meaning from the Shekhinah above for longer than it has to be, and there's no way for it to get out. Aside from that, the soul's in this constant battle. That's what the neshama is with the body, and usually loses. If a person would never die, if that was the plan, the Eitz HaChaim would be there, the soul would always lose. Its whole existence of the soul would be one of suffering and wouldn't be able to know. We know that death is the flushing out of the soul from the body to allow the soul to come back in a better way and something's there. That's the concept. Since there are so many things in this world that are going wrong, says the Malbim, allowing a person to live longer in our world may be something that we don't want. And in that sense, the Eitz HaChaim cannot be eaten from. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw this in his infinite wisdom in the beginning, that the Eitz HaChaim is not for us in the world that we're in. It's going to be at some other point. Everyone gets jealous, everyone gets angry, everyone gets sad and depressed. If we live forever, that would continue, so to speak. And that's the idea of why the Eitz HaChaim is not there. Our job is to not allow that to affect us. Our job is to not need the Eitz HaChaim for us to live good lives. That's the concept behind it. So he goes on, the Malbim, and explains why Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit different, etc. But it's a crazy concept that goes through over here. But now, let's go into something else. We're done with the ideas and the concepts of why the Eitz HaChaim had to exist. Let's go into why it's in the middle of the garden. Rashi says, Be'emtza Hagan. When it says Besoch Hagan, he says two words. Be'emtza Hagan. In the middle of the garden. Targum Unkelus says the same. He says in the middle of the garden itself. Targum Yonas and Meduzil says that the height of this tree was 500 years from the bottom to its top. Now, I'm not positive I know how long a year is. I'm not so sure that's a distance that we can fully understand. But I would assume it means the amount of time that it takes a person to walk in a year. If you want to do a quick cheshbon, a person can walk 10 parses a day. That is, give or take, about 20 miles a day. If a person walks 20 miles a day, and there are 365 days in a year, well, you're dealing with 3650 times 2. So basically, you're dealing with 7,300 altogether miles that you'd be able to walk in 1 year. Okay? 7,300 miles altogether. That's how long, and times that by 500. 7,300 times 500 altogether, and that's the amount, that's the number as to how tall the Eitz HaDaas was. Obviously, we're talking about something, if Gan Eden is on Earth, then we're talking about something that went all the way up into space. If we're dealing with that type of number, it's not all the way to the moon, but it's huge, absolutely huge. So it seems, the way that Targum Yonasan is saying it, that the Eitz HaDaas was not in the middle of the garden. That the Eitz HaChaim was in the middle of the garden, because there can only be one thing in the middle itself, and the Eitz HaDaas Tovaro was right next to it. The problem with that is, as we said before, the Nachash was speaking to Chava and said that we are not allowed to eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. And she was obviously referring to the Eitz HaDaas. So what's going on here? Is the Eitz HaChaim in the middle, or is the Eitz HaDaas in the middle? What's going on? I got a bunch of answers to this. The Mizrahi and the Rivosh in Tshuva number 411 say that the word Toch really means anywhere in the middle, and it doesn't mean directly in the middle, but the Ramban says, no, you got to treat it as if it's exactly in the middle, and he says the following. Both the Eitz HaChayim and the Eitz HaDas were in one row that was exactly in the middle of the garden. There was a length to the garden, and both the Eitz HaDas and the Eitz HaChayim were exactly in the middle, but width-wise, neither one of them was in the middle. In between the Eitz HaDas and the Eitz HaChayim was the middle of the garden itself. So it was the middle this way, but it wasn't in the middle that way. That's how the Ramban answers the question. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says an unbelievable thing. He says it was one tree. There were roots on the bottom, and then the tree split. One side was the Eitz HaDas, the other side was the Eitz HaChayim. And it was one tree separated into two parts. Both of them were in the middle of the garden. And the way the wording of the pasuk goes, Eitz HaChayim b'soch hagan, the Eitz HaDas tovara, means the Eitz HaChayim was in the middle of the garden, connected to the Eitz HaDas tovara. That's how the Rabbi of Achaia puts it.
How's it different for the same tree?
What? It's Gan Eden.
Yeah, fair enough.
Come on. All right, that's number two. That's our second answer to the question. The Paris Yosef says, really only the Eitz HaChayim was in the middle of the garden. But you had no idea where the middle of the garden was. So obviously you're not able to count, and it was so big, so huge, so vast, there was no way to measure which one was in the middle. So you couldn't tell. It was not made in the orchard, etc. But there were two trees that might be considered in the middle. And no one knew exactly which one it was. One was the Eitz HaDas, one was the Eitz HaChayim, and both of them were technically forbidden to eat from because you had no idea which one was which. That's the idea. So both technically were in the middle, but really only one was, the Eitz HaChayim was, but only Hashem knew which one that was. That's the part of Yosef. The Rush and the Tur, this is Rishonim that are saying this over here. The Rush and the Tur both say, it makes sense, the Tur is the son of the Rush. This tree was covered up by the Eitz HaDas. Only when you ate from the Eitz HaDas did you uncover the Eitz HaChayim in the back of it. I don't know how this works exactly, but there was meaning, you looked at the tree in the middle of the garden, there was an Eitz HaDas. In the middle of the Eitz HaDas, if you pulled off the bark and the branches, in the middle of it was the Eitz HaChayim. And every time you took a fruit off it, I don't know how this works, you can't ask me this, I really have no idea. I know we think of the Eitz HaDas as an apple tree. It's not, it's for sure not, right? Because that's what the Goyim think. We know that, right? It really was either an Esrog tree or a wheat tree or a grape tree or a fig tree, one of them. And we have to think, grapes don't grow on trees. Wheat doesn't grow on trees. So I don't know exactly what it refers to when we say that there's this Eitz HaDas that we're dealing with over here. I don't know. But behind it, somehow, in the middle of it, is the Eitz HaChayim. So the exact middle of the garden is the Eitz HaChayim. Around that is the Eitz HaDas. That's the concept of what the Eitz HaDas was in the Eitz HaChayim. That's a crazy answer. The Torah brings another answer, and I'm sure people have heard this before, that the Eitz HaChayim and the Eitz HaDas overall are the exact same tree. It's like calling someone a tzaddik, a chassid, and a wise man. Each adjective is talking about the same person. So one aspect to the tree is it's an Eitz HaDas Tovara. The other aspect of the tree is it's an Eitz HaChayim. If you ate from it once, you died. If you ate from it twice, you lived forever. Cool concept, right? That's the way the Torah understood it. So you eat it once, and that was the problem. So that was the issue. It was the same tree. I'm sorry?
There are a lot of people that.
The only one I saw was the Torah. He brought it down from the Balei Tosfos, and I didn't check the Balei Tosfos al Torah because I was here. I didn't have the Balei Tosfos on me. So I didn't have that, so I couldn't see it. But he's the only one that I saw that said that answer, that the Eitz HaDas Tovara and the Eitz HaChayim are together. But you should know, I've heard this before from many different people. Isn't the Eitz HaDas and the Eitz HaChayim the same thing? And I would tell them no. But this is where it's brought from. It's from the Balei Tosfos. Yeah.
So wait, you do the Isser twice, and now you get rewarded.
Yeah, you know, like, Ralph, you remember that story, right? Once you're Milchik, you're Milchik?
Of course.
Of course. I don't want to say which brother, but there was a brother of mine who was drinking milk, I believe out of the carton from the fridge, and my wife came in and saw him and said, blank guy, how could you be drinking milk? We just had Plashix about an hour ago. To which he said, oh yeah. And then he kept drinking the milk. To which I was like, oh, what are you doing? To which he said, once you're milchit, you're milchit. Mm-hmm. So I believe the same concept will count over here. Either call it two wrongs, make a right, however you want to put it. But there was a concept of eating one, it hurts you. Eat the second one, it heals you. That's the idea. The Chafetz Chaim was once feeling ill. So he went to a doctor. He went to a doctor and asked him. The doctor, who was Jewish but not very religious, asked the great rabbi, he asked the Chafetz Chaim, what would be for him in the next world? Where would I be able to get something in the next world? Where would I be going? I'm not doing what the rabbi is doing. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a great rabbi. I'm not learning all day. He said, what am I going to get in Olam Haba? That's what he asked the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim asked him if he ever heard of the story of Chava and Adam in the Garden of Eden. That's one of the greatest questions I've ever heard. Anyway, but have you ever heard that story? The doctor said, of course. Yeah, of course. He said, why, said the Chafetz Chaim, why does it say that Eitz HaChaim was in the middle of the garden? Why do we need to know that? Why is that important that the Eitz HaChaim was in the middle of the garden? Is that important for us to know? So he said, it's to tell us, is what the Chafetz Chaim said, that as long as Hashem is in the middle of a circle, as long as Hashem is in the middle of a circle, your avoda is no greater or less than anyone else that's around there. You want to turn it off? Somebody put it on mute, please. Thank you. Okay, either way, Ralph, this is annoying. I know. The idea is that if you have a center of a circle, I know this is going to be hard for everybody who didn't take geometry in, I don't know, your senior year of college, I'm sure, because we all went to yeshiva, right? So if you have the center of a circle, the radius, meaning the middle of that circle, is equidistant to every part that's on the outside of the circle. Set the Chafetz Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in the middle, everyone's on the outside. We're all connected, and you're all there. The only question, if you're making it to Gan Eden, once you get there, and you're part of the circle, you're part of that great circle, it doesn't matter how, then you're all connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it doesn't matter. Some people will connect through Torah. Other people will connect through Chesed. Other people will connect through some other form, some mitzvah that allows them to connect in some way. So says the Chafetz Chaim, right, if you, he said to this doctor, if you give poor people appointments even though they can't afford it, if you allow them to come to you for free and give them free medical advice, then what you just did is a tremendous Chesed, something that I can't do. And even though I'm getting there through Torah, you're getting there through Chesed. That's the concept. You do something else, another mitzvah that you specialize in, so to speak, and that mitzvah brings it again in, and it's equidistant. There's no difference between me learning and by you doing this type of chesed. That's the point of saying that Eitz HaChaim is Besoch HaGan. Because wherever you were in the garden, the middle point was the Eitz HaChaim. You were all connected, so to speak, to that middle of the garden. You know, by the way, the Chafetz Chaim, at the end of his life, the last 2 years of his life, never learned anything but Chumash Bereishis. All he learned was Chumash Bereishis and Rashi. That's all he learned every single day. He said everything can be understood and the whole world can be understood from going through Bereishis over and over and over again. Now I agree, if I knew as much as the Chafetz Chaim did at the age of 86, I probably would also only do Sefer Bereishis. And that's it for us now. But it is awesome. No, I say, I don't see why you shouldn't do it now. Chumash Rashi going all the way through. Okay. Now, the Kli Yakar says that Adam Rishon was not to eat from the Eitz HaChaim. Once he ate from the Eitz HaDaat, he wasn't allowed to eat. Why? Because naturally, this tree, as we said before, allows the eater to live longer, possibly forever. Although the Ramban says a long time, the Kli Yakar says forever. There were no fruits on this tree, he says. This tree did not have fruits like the Eitz HaDaat did. The Eitz HaDaat had fruits. The Eitz HaChaim was all bark and leaves. But the bark and the leaves tasted like something. And when you ate it, it healed you. It was a medicine once you ate it over there. Now, Adam Rishon at this point, right, was like an animal without Bechira. That was the idea, the concept before eating from the Eitz HaDaat. There was no need to warn him to eat from this tree. You didn't have to warn him not to eat from it. Why didn't you have to warn him? Because it didn't look good. It didn't look good at all. The Eitz HaChaim just looked like a regular, like a pine tree. Who would eat from a pine tree? Nobody would do that, although you should know. When I was in Vancouver, we did go to this something bridge, Capilano Suspension Bridge. And when we went there, we followed a tour throughout the forest around there. And this person pulled little pine leaves out of a tree and said, eat them, they're delicious. So we did. They weren't delicious. But we did do it anyway. And she said, I don't remember exactly what she said, the vitamins that you get from this tree can allow you to live for something like 20 years without eating anything else or drinking anything else. You can get everything you need out of this. I don't know if it was true, and I'm sure you have to eat an entire tree for that to be true. But regardless, right, there are some things. But nobody normal would eat from that tree. Somebody got lucky one day and tried it, right? But nobody normal would eat from a regular tree that doesn't have those fruits. Only once he ate from the tree, from the Eitz Hadas, and got wisdom, the ability to discern more, says the Kli Yakar, was he told, now he can't eat from the Eitz Chaim. Until now, he wouldn't have eaten from the Eitz Chaim. The same way an animal wouldn't eat something that's not delicious to it. But now he realizes, the other Mishnah is going to realize, the Eitz Hadas was one thing. What's that tree over there? Why is it right next to it? Why was I told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but I could eat from the Eitz Chaim? He would eat from the tree. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't let him eat from there, and that's that. There's an amazing Mechtav Me'elio over here on page 291. You can go through it over there, going into what Shalom Lishma and Lishma is, but we're not going to go into that right now. There's an Or HaChaim thing as well, but we're not going to go into that either. Tam V'Das says, there was no actual tree of life. The Eitz HaChaim was not an actual tree. It was the concept of doing tshuva. That's what it was. And Adam Rishon was being told that I'm worried that Adam is going to learn how to do tshuva and live forever. But he must die in order for the rest of the world to work the way it's supposed to work. That even though Adam Rishon was created in such a way where all of a sudden he'd be great, he could not learn the abilities to do tshuva well enough to be mechaper for the sin itself. So the Eitz HaChaim was not a physical structure. It was something bisochagan. Within life, there is the concept of tshuva that allows you to become better. That's the idea. Nemea Shiloh, the Ishbitzer, speaks about this as well, and says someone who does tshuva properly, which heals and brings back to life, that's what this tree represents. It's somebody who is dead beforehand. This allows you to bring back to life. It could be that it's referenced back to the rivers that come out of Gan Eden, but he says an amazing thing, and that's what he refers to. The Ksav HaKabbalah says it refers to learning Torah. That just like tshuva helps a person come back, that Adam Rishon was told he could not learn Torah. That there was no way for him, even though he had certain amounts of Torah to name the animals, etc., he wasn't allowed to learn Torah because Torah also has the ability to heal a person and to bring him back over here. And Reb Dessler speaks about this with Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, what happened and why they were finally able to learn Torah after they got in Mitzrayim. Why it took 2,448 years, that's the idea of the Dessler. Reb Dessler over here. We're going to end off with two pieces over here from the Rasha Bells and the Pardes Yosef, and then go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Listen to this over here. And Rashi Bell says, the middle of the garden means the point of life. What is the point of life? What is the middle of the garden? What is what everything needs to boil into? Is that you have to discern the difference between good and evil. The Eitz HaChaim, B'Sochagan, the real point of all of a person's life is to be Das Tovara, to know what the difference is between good and bad. Every level that we get to as life goes on, that we've already passed, hopefully we've all past the level of on Shabbos, you go by a light switch, you want to turn it on and off. You're past that level. You're done. You're no longer on the level of, should I eat at McDonald's, should I not eat at McDonald's? You're past that level. As you go on in life, and certain things become challenges, and other things fall away, and you become a better and better and stronger person, as things go on, says Rashmi Bells, it brings in more life. That is the point of life. To keep going with your Chaim, to make the right decisions, and be choosing the good, the Tov, over the Ra. That's the idea. His essence should not be about building up his personal, everything that he wants himself, his benefits, etc., but to improve God's world, to make it better, so to speak, to make sure you're doing everything for the correct reasons. So the Eitz HaChaim B'Sochagan is Ladas Tov Bara. That's the concept, he says. An amazing idea that the Belzer Rebbe is saying, the original Belzer Rebbe was saying. The Pardes Yosef brings another hint over here. We know the Makom Shebali Tshuva Omdin Ain Tzidikim Yichol Lamot. You have Bali Tshuva, you have Tzidikim. The place where Bali Tshuva stand, if a person does Tshuva, Tzidikim are not able to stand in that place. Maybe, says the Pardes Yosef, it's because Bali Tshuva have to go to the other extreme. to do tshuva. It's not like a regular tzaddik who stays in the regular path. Remember, it's easy to understand. A regular tzaddik doesn't stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning to figure out a sugya. I shouldn't say a regular. A great tzaddik does. A regular tzaddik does not stay up until 4 o'clock. Once it hits 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, he says, alright, I gotta go to sleep. I'll figure it out in the morning. That's what a regular tzaddik does. A Baal tshuva knows that when he was a Rasha, when he was doing bad things, he would stay up until 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning in order to get what he wants. If he would do that then, why shouldn't he do that now? A Baal tshuva knows how to bring himself to another extreme. The path that the Baal tshuva follow, the sides of the path, are never going to be the same way that the tzaddikim walk in, which is the middle of the path. The concept is they're just simply not walking in the same place. The tzaddikim are here, the Baal tshuva are on the outside. The Eitz HaChaim was Besoch HaGan. The Eitz HaChaim, meaning a regular tzaddik, the way a tzaddik goes, the right path is Besoch HaGan. It's right in the middle. But the Eitz HaDas Tovara, the Eitz to know the difference, that can do from Ra and bring it to good, has to go on the outside. Has to be somewhere else, says the Pardes Yosef. And that's what it means to make yourself a little bit better. Chaim Knievsky brings a remez from this pasuk. HaChaim Besoch HaGan. Those that live in the garden, they are alive when they are inside the Garden of Eden. He says, is the gematria of 12. He says, there are 12 people who never died and went to Gan Eden alive. You might have seen this before. Two of them are obvious. Who are the two people that went to Gan Eden alive?
Moshe.
That we know. Not Moshe. Chanoch and? No. Eliyahu HaNavi. Chanoch and Eliyahu HaNavi. That we have psukim on. Chanoch, it says, Ve'enenu, we never died. Eliyahu HaNavi, we have in the Sa'ara HaShemayim. Go up there. I said, Omin HaMashamash Marom, so do you give him obeys. That's not referring to dying. It's not referring to not dying. He definitely died. It says, Ve'yamas Shamoshe. No question about that. But there was death in some way. But there are those two. And then there are 10 people mentioned in Derech Eretz Zuta. If you don't know what Derech Eretz Zuta is, that's okay. It's at the end of Gemara Avodah Zarah. At the end of Gemara Avodah Zarah, there's Pirkei Avos, Avos Rebbe Nassim, Masechta Sofrim, and then it goes into Kala, Kala Rabasi, and then there's Derech Eretz Rabba, Derech Eretz Zuta. They're called the Masechtos Ketanos. The only person who has ever learned them well is Reb Chaim Knievsky. No one else. So he, of course, has Sfarim on each one of them. Right? But in Derech Eretz Zuta, at the end of the first parak, it says there are 9 people, and some say 10, who went to Gan Eden alive. The funny thing is, look at these names. If you have the sheet in front of you, look at these names. You'll notice barely any of them are Jewish. Chanoch, not Jewish. Eliyahu HaNavi was Jewish. Mashiach, I don't even know what that means. I can't even tell you. Serach Bas Asher, right, is a woman. Barely counts as Jewish, right? Bisya, daughter of Paro, right? Not Jewish, although she was Megayer. Obed Melech HaKushi. It could be this is a reference to Tzidkiyahu HaNavi. It could be it's another person, Obed, the king of the Kushim, which means he wouldn't have been alive. Yaivitz, the son of Rebbe. You want to hear something interesting? There is no other reference to Yaivitz, the son of Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, anywhere in Shas, Midrashim, or anything else other than right here. This is the only time this person is mentioned in all of Shas Midrashim anywhere. Yaivitz, son of Rebbe, went to Gan Eden alive. No stories, nothing. We have nothing else about him. That's all we know about him, that he went to Gan Eden alive, which is awesome. But nothing else. There is a Gemara in Kuf Gimel and the Beis, Kuf Dalet and Aleph and Ksuvis, that goes through Rebbe's death and his sons and how he had different sons do whatever it is. He doesn't mention Yaivitz. We have no clue who that is. Hiram, the king of Tsur, was not a Jew. Eliezer of Avram was not a Jew. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was definitely a Jew. But you have those 10. Out of those 10, 5 of them are not Jewish. Now granted, some of them were before there was Judaism, and I don't know if you can count. Serach Bas Asher also was technically adopted by Asher. Bas Itzo the Asher, yeah, according to Targum Yonasan. Right? That's that.
And I don't understand them.
Of what?
Having
new mitzvahs. Yeah, but he's not Jewish. It's just funny that you have 5. I just wanted to point it out because it's funny that we have 10 people that are going to Gan Eden alive, and this many are not Jewish, or at least have no shaykhis to what Judaism is. But that's how great, even we have to think of it that way. It's not just us. We're not dealing with just Jews that go to Gan Eden alive, that go to Olam Haba. Right? Anybody has that concept. That's the concept. As well as, if you want to go through Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu, which could be included over here, you don't need that. You have the 10 people, you have Eliyahu HaNavi, and you have Chanoch. You have those 12 that are mentioned that are going into Gan Eden alive, that are able to go to Gan Eden alive. 12 people is from the letters of Achayim Besoch HaGan. That's what ends up happening over here. Alright, Shkoyach, everybody. We'll end with this for right now.